guys. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And guys, welcome to a brand new episode. We're no longer doing audio for now. We're finally in the studio.
We're back.
With the best friend of the pod, Mr. Tumani again.
The guy's a...
Best friend.
Yeah, the pod. I think you deserve it. How are you, Tumani?
I'm good.
Post Wimbledon, have you slept well, rested well?
I've just been sleeping, that's what
I'm It's been a long 2 weeks, huh?
Fam, listen, the catching up on sleep has been real. It's been real. No, How are you, Eugene?
Yeah, I'm good, Lucy, man. Like Tumani said, just been catching up on sleep. But obviously now we're back to like our real jobs.
That's the thing. We didn't get to sleep that much, actually. back to a job.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, you know, back to the job, back to gym. Oh, it feels so great working out and having a healthy life. I did not realize how unhealthy these 2 weeks have been, like with the lack of sleep, eating, or like, even if you eat, just eating BS. I was eating burgers, I was eating pizza. Like, I remember there was one night I literally ran to the restaurant for the pizza because that's the last one that's open late.
Yeah.
And I ran only for it to be closed. And I ate some dead salad.
What was your favorite pizza, actually? I think we had the discussion, but...
It was one time. I feel like during the day, the pizzas were nicer. In the evening, it didn't really slap. Because everyone was rushing to get
Parma
that.
The Parma ham.
No, mine was a pepperoni still.
What about you, Tumani?
He barely ate. During this whole 2 weeks, we saw you eat once.
that pasta bowl.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to them pasta guys. They were nice. They were nice peoples. But
yeah, no, they were. All the staff were.
But you know, we
I could have done it better.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
When I say nice, I say the peoples were nice.
They're lovely. Yeah.
The pasta though.
Stop it.
Need a little seasoning, you know. I
think it was, what was it, hot pepper sauce? You had
Tabasco.
Tabasco, yeah.
Just topping up
everything. Yo, he finished the whole bowl. But I didn't even blame him. When I was eating it, I was like, bro, where is the Maggie? Where is the seasoning?
Stop it. But yeah, guys, this is our like Wimbledon review pod. And obviously, yeah, like Lucy said, we're doing daily pods there, but just audio. So this is more kind of just to kind of give our thoughts and like, I don't know, feelings and like reactions to like everything, like post or past this past fortnight. But I think before we start, we should, get into like some news, news anyway.
And good news.
True. Bit of both, but let's start with the bad. I say bad, unfortunate. So Mikhail Immer. Has been suspended for 18 months for potential anti-doping rules violation after 3 whereabouts failures. I said it seems a little harsh, like...
Which a lot of people are saying.
I mean, yeah, considering, you know, what he posted as well, like on his, I think it was Facebook.
And Twitter, actually, he posted on Twitter as well.
And Twitter, yeah, he did. I don't know, like, where are you guys, like, in terms of kind of feelings towards it?
I know he's not the only athlete. There's another athlete as well facing the same thing.
Jensen Brooksby, yeah.
Yeah, he's...
But his ban is 12 months.
So that's another thing as well. And I swear they both missed the same amount of time.
I don't know.
Three?
I don't know how many...
I mean, it's three and you're out, basically. Okay. If you miss three. So I'm not sure if, like, Brooksby's is still going to be, you know...
So why is there a difference?
Like, and I think it's still... You know, in the process, yeah.
Because he hasn't actually made a statement, has he, Brooksby?
No, so I think he's been given a provisional ban.
Okay.
So that's like, I mean, that's going to take a while until there's like a...
So he can still appeal it, essentially, whereas Immer's just been...
Well, yeah, so Immer's had the ruling, whereas I think Brooksby's still awaiting like the proper ruling. He's in the same like stage where Halep is now, where he hasn't yet, you know. Had the final ruling.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. In these types of situations, it's kind of hard because obviously we don't know more behind like the scenes and stuff. Either way, if it happened like the way it's been described, 18 months is definitely harsh. And it's just unfortunate because, you know, he was start... I mean, look what he did during Wimbledon and stuff. Like
That big win against
Fritz. Taylor Fritz, yeah. You know, he made it like to like what, the fourth round?
Third round.
And yeah, he was like starting up, like he was going to play in Switzerland, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the plan. I was supposed to be playing next.
Good start.
One thing I actually did see is that just yesterday I saw another athlete, I think a Nigerian athlete.
Oh yeah.
Toby Amazon.
Facing the same thing as well.
World record holder.
Facing literally the same thing. 18 months as well, because he missed like, I think, 3 times as well. So I was just like, what's going on?
Yeah. I think with her, though, is it not a, did she not take something?
No, no, it's the same thing.
Same thing. Wow. Literally, that's what I'm saying. So that's why it was so weird. When I saw it, I was just like, what's actually going on right here? Mm. So like, I don't know. For me, I just feel like the band is just too long. But is there something like going on behind the scene that we don't know? Or also, am I overthinking it?
I think, and I don't want to spend too long on it, but maybe tomorrow you can maybe, fill us in a bit more. Like, I think athlete or tennis players anyway, in general, they don't take too kindly to like the way the whole kind of testing is done. Like, how you kind of have to be on call, like how...
So I think like the process is that all athletes have to give us a slot every day where they'll be in their house, or, you know, just they have to inform, you know, the anti-doping authorities where they'll be each day, basically, so that if there's a random test, you know, that the testers will come to their location and not to some random other location.
Yeah.
So I think it's, I mean, a lot of people, if you're not organized, then that... You can rack up like missed tests where they're knocking at your door and you're and actually Medvedev talked about that and how he had like at one point he had two strikes, and so, but at that point he knew that like he just had to make sure he didn't get a third. But if you're unorganized, then you know that could easily happen. To be honest, I think the only way I could have a strong opinion on whether it's too much or too little is if there was like, if there was more transparency and you know they showed, I don't know, they gave the whole like reasoning exactly. in the tribunal and stuff, which happens with, in some cases. It happened with like, you know, Sharapova with was like a, you know, long documents and many others, but in this case it hasn't. So
with Sharapova, she actually took something that was banned.
Yeah.
So with Emma, he's not taking
just that he's missed. Yeah, tests. But what he's saying is like, because we, which is what I was trying to say earlier as well, it's kind of hard to say something because it's like, bro, like what actually happened behind like the scenes? Yeah, so it's like, even though, Sharapova did do what she did, at least there was bare documents, bare information as to why they were blaming her for what she did.
Even Andy Murray, he's also had some things to say about like the whole process.
No, a lot of players, I think someone else, I can't remember who, I don't know if it's Fritz or like an American player, also literally tweeted the same thing about how like, I think they tweeted about how, there was one time where they said that he missed a test, yet he was actually at home waiting for them.
Crazy.
But, like, I think they must have rang the bell, like, once. They didn't even give him enough time and left. And he was in a balcony where he couldn't really hear it. So I think that's a lot of, like, difference. I don't know, maybe they need to look at how they test in tennis players because... Again, some of these players don't even see their house till like, they only see their house like once or twice a year because they're moving up and down and everything. Like, they all have different schedules and all. But I hope that Emma can sort that out because, boy, 18 months, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, for him, it's also difficult because, as he said in his statement, initially he missed three tests and then... obviously it went to tribunal and the tribunal I think kind of dismissed it and allowed him to continue, but then ITF appealed to CAS, Court of Arbitration of Sport, which then put the 18-month ruling. And so in other cases, like in Sharapova's case, I think she'd gotten two years and then she'd appealed to CAS and they reduced it.
Yeah.
Like normally often it's like the athlete who ends up appealing the
governing body.
Yeah. Mm. So yes, it's tough. I don't think there's any other route for him to go down.
Yeah.
It's definitely brutal in this case where he hasn't tested positive.
Exactly.
But obviously, like the rule is in place because there are athletes who may not test positive but would avoid testing. So I do think that like in general, I do like agree with people who think that athletes should have more of a say in the rules instead of it just being like these rules imposed on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's
kind of hard.
It's a difficult situation.
It's tough. But yeah, I mean, I hope Emma can, I don't know, appeal. I know it looks like it's gone past that stage, but yeah, just not great news. But yeah, on some violent news or some better news, Naomi Osaka, she gave birth to a healthy
I'm an auntie all over again. Oh my gosh. Lucy. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you. You know, it was hard keeping a secret and everything. And, you know, it was hard. Like, it's just been difficult. So thank you so much, guys. This is such a blessing.
We've been told that, mother and baby are doing very well, which is great to hear. And there was a video going around, which it's now been deleted. Of Asaka training. I retweeted it. Apologies. I should have really checked and like clarified.
I mean, we still don't know.
We don't know, but yeah.
You're saving your ass right now.
kind of backtracking.
Because we're reporters now, you know, like we're journalists now, you know. We need to move, you know. You know, exactly. People are depending on us, you know. We don't want to Osaka, don't sue us if the rules ain't true, if the news ain't true.
It's just good to see, like in terms of
I mean, some people are not too happy about it, but actually, how do you feel about it?
About what?
About her allegedly training already.
I'm not an expert.
See, this is what. Thank you very much, Sumani. Thank you.
Don't ask me.
Yeah. Everyone is out here chatting. And that's one of the tweets I see on my personal account. I was like, I don't like the idea of sitting down and saying what should a newly mother do. First of all, I am not a mom. I don't even know what that is. I've never experienced that. I get people's concern and stuff. But at the end of the day, the way I see it is, I don't think Asaka is silly enough to put herself into danger. Like, 100%. She's an athlete, you know. She knows, like, I feel like she knows enough, like, what she should be doing, what she should not be doing. If there's later on there we can see that maybe she should have taken time, then yeah, fair enough. Like, people were even trying to compare it to Serena, and I was like, bro, they're two different complete people who experience two different things,
two different types of pregnancy
at different stages of their lives. Like, it is what it is. But either way, I'm super happy that she had a healthy and safe pregnancy and delivery. That's all that matters, really and truly. And indeed, I cannot wait for her to come back. Oh, well said. How I miss Osaka playing. It's unreal.
Well said. That's very exciting. So we do look forward to seeing Osaka back on the courts. But yeah, guys, I think the main reason why we're here is to talk about Wimbledon and like our experiences.
Quick question. Do you guys say Wimbly or Wimby?
I say Wimby.
Wimby.
Do you say Wimby?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that says Wimbly?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I think we should change it to Wimbly.
Well, that's like an extra syllable, no? That's more
Sounds like Wembley.
I feel like Wimbly sounds nicer. Okay, I'll say Wimby next time.
We'll just say Wimbledon, but it's fine.
Oh, Wimbledon,
But yeah, this is our first time covering like a Grand Slam, like on the grounds and being there for the full 2 weeks. Very intense, as we said, on some of the daily pods. And I think I said this to you on Tuesday when we played tennis tomorrow, how my level of respect now has gone up for you, because to see what you do firsthand.
100%.
On a day-to-day basis at a Grand Slam. I don't know how you do it, honestly.
Fam. I now understand why messaging Tamani during Grand Slam, you'll get a reply 20 days later. It actually makes sense, because even people that knew me as well, they're getting frustrated. They're like, Lucy, what's going on? I'm like, bro, I'm getting home at 1. I have to be back on the grounds at 10:30. And I ain't got time. And when I'm on the grounds, if I have my phone, it's a tweet what's going on. And you know, the maddest thing is that we are not even writing articles. Do you get what I mean? So for you guys, is even for you guys that are actual press actually writing down and stuff, that's a whole different ballgame.
It's crazy. Well, do you remember your first experience, probably for The Guardian?
For The Guardian?
Yeah, as in covering a Grand Slam. What was that like for you? And what year was that?
That was in 2019, US Open. That was fine, actually, because there were two of us. I was second to Kevin Mitchell, who was the main guy. And I was just I was just doing the other stuff. But for me, lucky that it was kind of gradual, because I'd been doing it for a long time before. When I was just freelancing myself, so I kind of could work at my own pace.
Yeah.
And so it's been more intense now that I'm at a newspaper, but it was gradual rather than just me getting thrown into it.
Because I was going to say, freelancing or working for a paper, what would you prefer in terms of the workload?
Actually, I prefer working for a paper, because freelancing is I mean, for one, you're trying to get as many different articles just so you can make enough money for it to be worthwhile. And like I say that, but now thinking about it, I had some mad days. Like, I remember Australian Open one year, I finished writing an article at like 8 a.m.
Jeez.
So like, and then I left Australia, I left like the grounds in the morning while, you know, while people were coming in.
I went
back to my hotel, slept for half an hour and then came back.
Oh, shit.
So actually it's easier now because you know, newspapers have a cutoff, you know, that they, so like at least, you know, at a certain point, I don't have to work, you know.
Yeah. Fair play, man. But like, for you, Lucy, what kind of, because I've said here, nothing beats being like on the grounds. Like I felt it was just a special experience.
Oh yeah, 100%. To be there.
Obviously, it was our first time as well. But yeah, for you, what were like some of your highlights? Like, I know there's probably so many, but
oh, it's so funny because you said earlier, like, damn, what was my highlight? Like, off my, no, I'm like, wait, shoot, I didn't even think.
I did send this rundown earlier.
You did. My bad.
It's still a lot to like go.
Yeah, this hello, 14 days is a lot. I'm gonna say for me, the highlight was. It's weird because I don't feel like I have a specific highlight, but I feel like my highlight is just the idea of just being there as press.
Yeah,
because think about it, like I've been to that place so many times as like a fan and now actually being there like behind and everything and blah, blah, blah. Like it was really cool. I think another thing as well, it was actually interviewing, well, not really interviewing, but like doing Sloane Stephens' first press.
Oh, because I want to get on that to that later, but okay.
Yeah, That was, I even tweeted to my personal account, like, I get extremely nervous.
You led that press conference.
Yeah, that one, and After Your Feast one, I actually did lead that one. I looked at everyone, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to start. And I was just like, yeah, da-da-da.
The Feast one, you did that in French.
I did it in ink. Okay, this is the thing. The Feast one, I looked at him, I was like, listen, I'm not that prepared to do, because I didn't realize there was going to be only French journalists. I thought it would be a mix. So I told him like, okay, this is what we're going to do, which is what I do with my friends. I'm going to speak in English. And then I told him, I understand French, but I prefer doing this in English. And he was like, oh, so can I answer in French? I was like, okay, you know what? F it. Yeah, let's do it. He was like, cool. So I was speaking to him in English and then he was answering back like in French and stuff.
I will say as well, because I saw his dad, I think the day before. Because he played on the Tuesday, Wednesday. No, he played on the Thursday.
Yeah, he played late. Pushed back.
I saw his dad during the week and like just introduced myself. And I was like, oh yeah, basically me and my colleague are here. Because his dad's Haitian. So I was like, I don't speak French. I said, my colleague, she's from Senegal. So she speaks French. And he goes, oh, why don't you speak French? You should learn. I was like, listen, I'm sorry. Like,
no, but do you know what? If I knew it was only going to be French press, I would have prepared myself.
Yeah.
But I didn't prepare myself to like ask. And plus, I didn't know if I have to be informal or formal. Well, like,
I said that is because I think Feast or Arthur knew you understood French.
No, he...
So...
Probably. I don't know. I don't know if he knew, but at that moment, he did know. And stuff. So it was cool. But I feel like the Sloane Stephens ones, because it was the first time where I did a press and I was not nervous. Like, I was actually just so calm. Like,
just talking to one of your girls.
Yeah, that's how we felt. So it was really, really dope. I feel like those two are like, there's so many highlights. But I think the last one for me, my last highlight 100% is how much it allowed us to interact with a lot of the people online. Because the problem is, I did not think of how much it will help us, like our platform being there. And even like in terms of numbers, after Eugene, like, I was avoiding to looking at numbers. I was like, I'm not looking at anything. Like, and then Eugene was like, look, I was like, oh shoot, like people actually look so like, crazy. Like I did not think that, like, all I was thinking was, oh, this is gonna help us too. Cause my goal has always been to improve us engaging with our current followers. Do you get what I mean? But I did not think of, oh, it's actually gonna help us with that, but also the new people, because like there's hella new people like finding out about Black Spin and stuff, and I did not think of that at all. I just saw it as we're just covering and just leaving. So that was really, really dope, like actually being able to interact with people. My Twitter, like, now is like, my phone is literally moving slow, like when I open Twitter sometimes, like especially Wimbledon, it was crazy. And I remember even was one time someone even at us like, Emma, updates, please. Like, come on. Like, because it was Emma and someone else was playing at the same time. I think you guys were playing. Yeah. And I was like, damn. And I messaged Eugene. I was like, yo, the people are asking. Like, but then type of thing actually made me really, really happy. But I think for me, it was just the idea of just doing what we were doing. Yeah, that nice. Overall was just like,
yeah,
really dope.
I think everything you just said, like, I completely agree. Like, yeah. For me, it was like, of course, being there was special, but I think, yeah, getting a different look in terms of going to matches, obviously, and then going to press after. Because we don't get to do that.
Yeah.
Like, so it was like, wow, this is actually like, it's a whole new experience. Mm. And like, yeah, we already have this kind of affinity with the players that we cover anyway. But yeah, to then go to a press conference, especially like after a defeat, that was tough. So Coco Gauff, for instance, first round, that was mad for me.
That was, Eugene could not.
It was tough because I picked her to win the tournament. Like, I genuinely thought she had a good chance.
You did.
So like when she lost, and she played a good match against Sophia Kenin. Shouts out to Kenin because that was a good battle.
100%, yeah.
But yeah, her press conference after, like, you can see she was in tears. Like,
yeah,
as in beforehand.
She did. Yeah.
And for her to come in and like literally speak to press straight after that, like, it's mad considering mm-hmm. how old she is as well. But mm-hmm. yeah, she spoke really well, gave good answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, man, I don't know how these athletes do it, man, honestly. Like, yeah. So again, my level of like respect and admiration for them went up a few levels.
And we had a discussion. Yeah. We actually did say it. We were like, nah, man, I'm looking at these journalists a bit different still. Like, I'm not going to lie, because it's definitely, yeah, it's not that easy.
It really isn't. So, yeah, I think there's so many different highlights. We'll kind of go back and forth. But yeah. For you, Tamani, what kind of was this year any way more special than others for you? Or
I just think I enjoyed it more just because...
We were there, sorry.
I mean, I'll say something after, but like, in general, I just enjoyed it because, I mean, this is now my third year, I think, doing it for The Guardian, and so I just kind of more used to it, more like, I don't know, I know you went to like just delegate to my colleagues. I was telling you guys, like, one of the best parts is that I have other colleagues there, so like it's split among, even though there's obviously more work because it's Wimbledon, it's split amongst us, so I can actually like covering. Like, when I'm covering a match, I can just cover the whole match instead of, like, rushing through 5 press conferences while trying to, like, still keep an eye on the match. So, things like that. And so, I enjoyed that. Like, I actually got to, like, enjoy matches. I also enjoyed, like, seeing like, Eugene, like, someone, people coming up and recognising.
Stop it. I was going to go to you about that. Anyway.
Yo! I'm sorry. It was impossible to walk a Wimbledon for at least even 30 seconds without someone be like, Tamani, hey, Tamani. Tamani was a star.
Tamani's that guy.
I was like, who's this?
I've got here. So the Sunday before, the Sunday before the start of the tournament, we were, is it Erangi Park or Pavilion? Erangi is basically where the players practice. So that's where the practice courts are. And like, general like members of the public aren't allowed there. So it's only like certain members of the press. So someone like Tamani, again, he's got that on lock on his invitation. We didn't have that.
We had to go to the reception, be like, can I go? That's why I think I only went there once.
Yeah, I think
that time with you. That's the only because I was like, I'm not bothered to be going back and forth so many times.
It's a bit overwhelming. I'm not gonna lie to you.
It is because like, you see all the players just like walking past. I'm just like I was right next to Medvedev, but the fan in me went to Kuna Medvedev.
You played it cool though.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, thank you. It was not easy to play it cool.
It was funny because Medvedev was like sitting right next to you, like signing things.
Yeah, he was literally like, as in where Tamani is. Yeah. That's what it was, and I was just standing there. And I was just like,
and I was looking around, like, just trying to see if she played it.
Yeah, I was like, raw, I'm right next to Medvedev. Like,
just held it together.
I held it together. Go on, Lucy. So I'm really happy that I only went once. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was like, that's enough for me. Honestly speaking,
the moment I was gonna bring up is again me and you, Tamani. Again, I didn't think you were there on that Sunday, Lucy.
I wasn't there the Sunday, no.
So we're on Narangi, just watching, I think it was Shelton and Feast practicing for a long time. And then I was like, yeah, tomorrow I think I'm going to head back like to our desk or I don't know. As we're walking or about to walk out, Tavani sees Carlos Alcaraz's dad. What's his name?
Carlos.
Carlos. And like, just goes up to him and starts talking in Spanish. And I was like, what the? And then Lucy, they're literally having a back and forth chat in Spanish.
Oh my God. I wish I was there.
Watching in the background thinking, oh, right. Okay. Like, and they're speaking like they're peoples. So then he's like, oh, like, I caught a few words. I caught club, as in tennis club. When he asked you, like, what publication do you work for? And I was like, look at this. Somebody's got the respect. Obviously, you wrote the article before the French.
Mm. Yeah.
And that was what you were talking to him about.
Yeah, so that I went to his club and it's run by like his family has a big part of it. So we're talking about that and I met his friend. So yeah.
But I was like, wow, Tamani's that guy, man. Like, then who goes and wins the bloody tournament? Like, do you get me? So
Alcaraz. Yeah.
But you want to say that I'm all weird, like being recognized, mate?
Yeah, well, I think
world number one's dad's like talking to you, like you and him are boys. Like.
But at that same time, we were just standing there and Blackspin Global.
Stop it. Shout out to Caroline.
Shout out to her. She's really cool,
man. Yeah. Really cool. So she follows us. And we met her, I think, a few days later. And I introduced you.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So that was a cool moment, actually. And again, Lucy, you were getting spotted. It was Sloane Stephens' friend.
Friend.
Asking you for a selfie.
And even Eubanks doing his match.
Oh, look at that.
His first match. I was just sitting there, I was watching it. So, and he went up to drink his water. And then he's giving me like a quick smile. And then his team was like playing the other side. I mean, his team was like sitting the other side, I was sitting that side. So obviously every time he was looking at like his team, So when he was looking at my side, we were like, And obviously press not really, you know, so I just gave him a little thing. But I think that was really dope as well. The fact that people actually, and he said something very interesting at the end of his match. He was like, oh, thank God you guys do videos. If not, I'd have not recognized you at all.
That's all Lucy. So shout out to Lucy on that, 100%. Yes. One last thing I'll say on the press conference as well. My favorite press conference, and again, it's our guy, Francis Tiafoe, but it was after his first round match. Who did he play against? It was Ruyi Bing.
So
after he did, he comes to press.
Oh yeah, you went alone to that one. The second one.
Oh, the second one you came.
I think the first one there was a match or something and I was watching that and you went.
But yeah, that one was mad because obviously that was the first time he'd seen us there as an Wimbledon. And obviously we linked at Queens quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mad. So as he was going in, he's walking with his agent and kind of the press kind of wait outside to then be told, oh yeah, go into the room.
Go into the room,
Bro, like he sees me, like daps me up before walking into the room. Yeah. I was like, what's this guy gonna do?
To be fair, Francis, every single time he actually always said hi to us.
100%.
But it was always a bit thing because obviously the others are looking like.
And that's what I was gonna get onto, Lucy. Like, so you had Washington Post, New York Times, American Press. They're probably thinking, like, who the hell are these two?
I never seen you people before. What are you doing here? And it's like, don't worry, man. We've been working hard. We got here.
That for me was it made me feel like special, like because it's like bloody hell, like this is top 10 foe right here. Like, and yeah, he knows no, who for we real. Are. Like
100%.
Big moment, like in terms of just kind of again, not justifying why we were there, but like it kind of made. It made it feel right.
The fact that we were there,
like the players know who we are.
Yeah. Like, 100%.
So, yeah, we'll get on to like Chris Eubanks later on. But also, I want to shout out Rodney Rapson
because
this was the first time we'd met him in person. And he was there with Dustin Brown, got that nice picture that we took. I think it was on the Tuesday or Wednesday. It was one of the days it rained.
I think it was Tuesday. Tuesday was raining like crazy. It was mad. Yeah.
So mad. And also, we connected with Jermaine Jenkins, obviously.
Yeah.
Now the coach of Clairvue, the girls' champion. John Williams too, Taylor Townsend's coach, who we interviewed mid-tourney here in the studio, which we did post about.
Yeah.
Interview coming soon, so keep a look out for that. And Isis Gil Reed as well.
Yeah.
We met her on the final weekend.
On the final weekend of Saturday.
Yeah, which was cool. So man, it's just nice to kind of like be in this position where we could actually link or connect with people that like follow the page and we don't necessarily see on a day-to-day basis because they don't live in England and we're not in the States or wherever they are. Like, so yeah, just very, very special.
Facts, yeah.
I want you to talk about as well, Tamani, your chat or interaction with Francis Senior. So,
oh yes,
Francis Senior being Francis Tiafoe's dad.
Dad, yeah.
Like, very interesting conversation you two had about his name. Yeah. Clearing that up.
Yeah. He just said that his name was he was a janitor in the club, the club in Washington, and they called him Constant because he was constantly working.
Wow.
During like, I think it was at some point in the first week, I just saw him around the ground, just standing around. So just, for some reason, I've never spoken to him before, or even seen him. So I just introduced myself, and I'm from Sierra Leone.
Say, fellow countrymen, like,
yeah, yeah. So we're just talking about that, about our family and you know, our family journeys and stuff. And they're definitely gonna link hit him up soon and talk to him in depth properly.
So again, look out for that interview coming soon.
I can't wait.
We look forward to that, man. But again, like, look at that. Like, that's how many journalists can say that they have that kind of connection, like, with, do you get me? Like, a player's.
But I think that's also the good thing about being in the underground, that it gives you the opportunity to actually interact with them type of people, which you always said to us as well.
He was always on us about it.
Yeah, that's why he was even like on the days like, oh, there's no black players.
Go and talk to
I was thinking of going to sleep. Tumani is like, come to the grounds and see, like, you know, you never know who you see and stuff. So yeah, definitely, it definitely makes, it makes that difference, gives you that opportunity.
Were there any press conferences for you, Tumani, this year that kind of stood out?
I really enjoyed the Eubanks one we did because that was the first time I'd ever really spoken to him.
His last one?
No, when it was, we were in the small interview.
Oh, the small interview.
Maybe four or five of us there, and just like, I mean, it felt like we could have talked for like an hour. It got cut short, but like, it was cool to just like speak to him for the first time and kind of see what, I don't know, to see what he's about in a way.
Yeah, I think right now is one of the best times to get to know him, because a lot of people actually don't know his story stuff. Like, there's some people that's only even during Wimbledon they even find out about he's even named. Do you get what I mean? So hence why each, you know, press was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, we went from the smaller room to like the bloody theatre room stuff. So
it's funny how you see that, you know, progress.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's just so crazy. Exactly. So, yeah.
Because being back at work, everyone's like, oh, yeah, that Chris Eubanks guy. Like, and this, these are people that don't watch tennis.
Exactly.
Like, at my work. Like, they know the story of Chris Eubanks now, because obviously Wimbledon, and I've said he was definitely one of the biggest stories, if not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, no, 100%. Because even my friends as well, that don't watch tennis like that, like, they literally, now they know about Eubanks. Do you get what I mean? So it's really dope, like, seeing that.
And the funny thing is that, like, when you're there, you don't always, like, realise it. Mm. Like, because obviously when you're at home, you're watching TV and you're seeing how people consume it. But when you're in it, like, you don't really
Good point, because it's not, you're actually even seeing the people who are working in the sport not knowing nothing about them. Because that's why, that was an interesting thing about being in some of like the black players' press, is like, you can tell, like, from the questions that they're asking, like, you really don't know nothing about this, which makes sense, because some of them, for example, they might be covering only for their country or stuff like that. But it also shows why, like, black spin really does matter, because
tell them again, Lucy.
Yeah, because we talking about the player, like, you just wrote down about this player, like, we've been here, we've been posting, but yeah, it was really dope. It was definitely getting a different perspective when you're actually there. Definitely.
100%, man. Let's talk a bit about the tennis. So obviously we did have a champion, or black champion anyway, in Claire V and Gunu, like I just said.
Yes.
So she was 16 at the time. She's now 17. Turned 17. So happy birthday, Claire V. But yeah, she won the girls event in like just such dominant fashion. Didn't drop a set. I think it was 6 matches she played.
Mm-hmm.
Did not drop a set in any of those matches.
Yep.
She was a second seed.
Most of her matches ended like in less than an hour. I think it's only her last match that went over an hour. And that was even because of a little bit of a rain delay. But every single match, 58, 57, 56, 55, she was done.
Like, top player. Mm-hmm. And, like, again, she's someone she's kind of been spoken about, or I don't know, people have been knowing about her coming up. But yeah, that was our first time seeing her live.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we spoke on the pod, on our last audio pod about her. Tumani, like, have you seen much of her game? And like, what do you know of Claire V?
To be honest, I didn't watch much of it.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, but I mean, I was, you know, it was at the same time as other things, so I didn't get to watch as much, you know, much of a run.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've seen her in the past, and just like obviously known about her for a long time, and mm-hmm. her being at the Mortoglu Academy, yeah. spending a lot of time there, and just I don't know, seeing her growth from, you know, winning the double slams and mm-hmm. just gradually, you know, building. And obviously, clearly, this was a big, big moment for her in her career.
Because I think she's going to be a name that obviously we're going to be hearing a lot more of. And I was saying to Lucy as well, I'm not sure if how it works in terms of wild cards, if like the US Open might give her a wild card.
I think she'd get. I mean,
into qualifying maybe.
I mean, definitely that you'd expect them to give her a qualifying wild card. Yeah. I don't know. It depends.
Straight main draw.
Yeah, obviously the competition for main draw is big.
Yeah.
So, but if, I mean, obviously she'll get I'm sure she'll get also WTA wild cards or qualifying wild cards, and if she does well, then yeah.
And now she's 17. Like, it's just so mad.
Yeah, yeah.
Because again, I think our first post about her was when she was 14.
Something like that. Like, yeah.
And again, this is she was junior. Mm-hmm. And now she's going up the rankings mm-hmm.
And a lot of the Americans actually know about her. Like, whenever we're tweeting about her and stuff, a lot of people already. Yeah. So I feel because correct me if I'm wrong, but because people following sports from when they're younger in America is more of a thing compared to here. I think that's why it's what they probably know more about. It's for example, you see a lot of people watching college basketball or college, football and stuff. So I think that's why it's a little bit more common.
Maybe.
But I'm really happy for her, man. I'm so glad that she did that. And I can't wait to see she did say she was excited to go into a hardcore and everything. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I do want to talk about, unfortunate anyway, the post that Wimbledon...
Do you know what? I was just are we going to talk about that? Because
Why not? I mean, you did say some things. On
my personal, just in case.
I mean, was it just the personal?
I did say on the other one, yeah, but that was after they fixed it. Because they actually did post.
I was also going to say, really and truly, you shouldn't have said defended as well, because people weren't defending it. They were calling it out.
No, I'm saying they were defending Claire V. I didn't say they were defending. I said they were standing up for Claire V, which is what they were doing, which rightfully so. I even said in my personal, I get why they did it because it's two Americans. Mm. But it's bro, come on.
At least give her the full
read the room.
Shine.
Especially like I said on my post, is she's done so well this season. She literally went from being doubles. French Open, she played exceptionally well during Wimbledon, and then boom. But then we have to have a bigger conversation. Maybe Wimbledon needs to look into maybe hiring people that are into tennis, because probably that person who posted that did not know that Claire V actually has been killing it. Do you get what I mean? I think that's another thing as well. Maybe if they were aware of how much they were doing, because again, remember, they probably hire an agency that's just doing it as well. We don't know if they have their own thing, but I won't be surprised someone like Wimbledon actually has an agency that's covering their thing.
They do have an agency. I think it's a mixture of people who
know
tennis very well and other people who may not. But I don't know.
Which makes sense. Obviously you want...
I don't want to be too harsh or critical on them. But I did, and I didn't and we did post it, or we kind of corrected it. I think it was middle Saturday when Issa Rae was in the Royal Box.
Oh, yeah.
They just completely, no one even acknowledged that. And I was like, bro, what the hell? That's Issa fucking...
Hello. Hello.
I loved your you tweeted that.
Yeah, because what they did, they did a post showing all do you know what's so annoying? It was there was extra space for one more picture for them to post. They posted three pictures of celebs inside the Royal Box. And I was like, ain't no way you skipped Miss Issa Rae. You can't even tell me, no one knows about her. She has a whole... HBO has a deal with Sky. Insecure is on Sky. Do people know about Insecure? If you don't know about it, cool. But do people know about Insecure? If she's sitting in the Royal Box, she's not a small person. There was literally British celebs that were not sitting in the Royal Box. If Issa Rae is there, that's something.
Exactly.
So when they did that, I didn't quote tweeted. They were like, this celebrity, that celebrity. And I was like... And the legend is Issa Rae. So shout out to Issa Rae. Right. She was around Europe promoting the Barbie movie.
Yeah, she's in the Barbie movie. Yeah.
She's doing, ever since Insecure, she's been doing big things, which we don't get a lot to see. So, yeah.
So good. Christopher Eubanks as well. Again, we spoke about him obviously daily.
Mm.
But yeah, Tamar, I want to kind of get your kind of take on Christopher Eubanks and like where you see his game and like because I believe and I think most people do now think that he's going to basically be he's top 30. I think he's 31.
31. Yeah.
And like that is pretty much he should have been there a long time ago. But yeah, that's where he is, and that's pretty much where he's going to stay. Like, do you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I think everyone like has a own path as well, and for him, obviously, like as he talked about throughout, like it took a long time for him to even get past the top 100 and the pressure that comes with that, and you know, and as soon as he's gone past that hurdle, suddenly he's completely free to, you know, it's freed him up in terms of just, you know, making that achievement, but also financially, knowing that he can go to these tournaments and not worry about, you know, the check and how much money he's making and whether it, you know.
He did talk about that. Yeah.
So it's, I think it's just a completely different player now that he can play with that freedom. And we'll see how long it goes on for in terms of, I don't know, obviously there's pressure everywhere and maybe it won't be like that all the time. But clearly he's shown that his game works against the top players and the best players and on hard and on grass as well. And yeah, I mean, he has big weapons and he's learning more and more how to use them. And also, as he said, like how to off the court, you know, how to what to do off the court and how to kind of, you know, make sure he has the best chance of succeeding. So, yeah, I mean, it seems it's very likely he's going to embed himself in the top 30 and he has a game to make, you know, when he's feeling good to make big runs like here or like Wimbledon or in Miami, was it?
That's where the break grew.
Yeah. So
obviously hard courts, Miami. So what's coming up now?
Yeah. And so this is this is gonna be big, right? He's gonna have a lot of eyes on him as well and probably get bigger court assignments.
But I think that's gonna like fuel him to
On.
Now, like we said, everyone's kind of watching him.
Mm-hmm.
But like he's a very likable guy,
mm-hmm.
and you can tell like he's comfortable, like kind of in the limelight, the way he speaks, and like just his personality. So I think he's really gonna take it on and really like shine.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he does, man.
Yeah.
I think he'll have fun in New York as well, and being a seed as well, that will help.
Which he actually even said as well during his press. Like, I think the two things that I actually really liked is the fact that he was saying. One, like you said earlier, he's not trying to change like too much, because I feel like a lot of players, once they get to a certain level, they then want to change so many things, and then it just messes up their whole like momentum and vibe. Whereas he was just like, you know, I'm just gonna keep on doing what I'm doing, but just do it smartly, just, you know. But another thing that he did say is that it's to make sure to just enjoy it and like have fun, because he shared how he was putting so much pressure on like the ranking goal that he had. And, you know, he was thinking about a lot of stuff. And even watching him play at Wimbledon, you could see that he was just having fun. Like, I remember, for example, at the Tsitsipas match, Greek yogurt, the last set, there was even one little moment where both of them were kind of like enjoying it. And I was like, yo, this is the last set. Like, this is literally like blood and tears right now. Like, you know, but you can see that.
Because that was a four. I think he did that in four. He beat six of us in four sets.
Five?
No, I think it was five sets. Okay. I think it was five sets. Okay. I think it was five. Either way, the last set anyways, it was still like, you know, like it was intense, basically. But you can see like he was just trying to enjoy himself and like have fun. And he even said as well, as like, I'm just trying to enjoy this process and everything. Like, even when people were asking like, what's your next goal? We say you have a goal. And he was like, man, I'm just trying to like enjoy it. And you can see it in the game. I think that's a difference as well. So I'm really happy for him. Shout out to him. And hopefully soon we will get that interview as he asked. He was
like, the interview he wants.
Yo, when like, I was out here chilling in bed, minding my business, you just calling me like, Lucy, check 12. I'm like, okay, what have I done now? And then I just see you back tweeting. I was like, what the hell? Wow, do you know what's so funny? Usually it was like, don't swear, I'm with my dad. Yeah, here he was. What the F? What the F? What the F? He was swearing all the time. He was like, what the F? What the F? I was like, the thing is, for me, it's so crazy, because in my head, I'm thinking a lot, for example, like you go out to these players or their family to do stuff.
They ain't asking me.
But this is what I'm saying. In my head, I'm thinking like, Rob, we can't grow up to them. But then when you sit there and think about it, how was he supposed to get it? You actually have to go and actually like, oh, so a side of me felt like, damn, maybe we should have actually asked him. But I feel like there were so many things. Obviously, it's our first time. There was a lot going on. It was our first time and everything. So it was just like, but having that moment and then seeing everyone else being like, yo, yeah, we want to see it. Yeah, we want it. Obviously, by the time we saw it, he had to fly back out. But definitely.
Coming,
it's in
man.
The work.
Definitely.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah, shout out to Eubanks, man. Madison Keys, I think we need to talk about.
Oh, yeah,
well.
100%.
I think, yeah, again, she reached the last eight, came into the tournament pretty hot as well, winning Eastbourne.
Is she getting the last eight club thing as well?
I think
she's already there.
Yeah, because she.
Oh, that's what I was wondering. Like, why is everyone only talking about Eubanks but not her?
Because she did 2015.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
She's been there.
She's been.
but again, I loved that, like, her kind of vibe. This
oh yeah.
And like, I went to all of her press conferences as well, and even the match she played against Sabalenka, which she ended up losing, like, she was still in high spirits. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, that's such a good sign because, mm-hmm. yeah, she was like, listen, I've had a good tournament. Like,
a good grass season, to be honest.
She came in winning off the back of winning Eastbourne.
Yeah.
She's gone out to the second seed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was straight sets, but it was a good match. She was like, listen, I'm taking away a lot of positives. Mm-hmm. And like, now going to the hard courts, like, full of confidence. Obviously, she has a decent record as well, yeah. like, in the US, mm-hmm. going home as well. Tamani, where do you see Madison Keys' game? And like, yeah, were you impressed with her Wimbledon run?
Yeah, that was a great, again, Eastbourne and Wimbledon. Obviously, that was also the week before Wimbledon. So that whole 3 week stretch was really good.
True.
I was impressed. You know, we were all watching her against Andreeva.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah,
when
true.
When she was down, it was so funny. Like, I came in when she was down, like, a set and a break. Oh and, God, like...
good luck charm.
Yeah.
And he literally said it. He was like, he turned around, he looked at me, he was like, I was a good luck charm. I was like, all right, come on.
Yeah. But it was just impressive to see her turn it around and you know, she upped her level. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, as she said, actually, you know, players going to, when you go up playing against a 16-year-old who has no experience, the thing in your mind is, I don't want to fucking lose.
Yeah, 100%.
And yeah, she said that. But she managed to, you know, get past that and find mm-hmm. a level. And yeah, that's a really positive few weeks. And yeah, it bodes well for the US Open's US swing. And she's just really good at going deep at slams as well. Like, she just mm-hmm. Her record is actually, I imagine, like, one of the best slam records of most players, because mm-hmm. she just constantly making second week quarterfinals. And yeah, obviously she came up against Sabalenka, who was basically she was the tournament favorite.
Yeah, she was.
So yeah, but you know, if you keep putting yourself in those positions, then you know another run can be around the corner, even deeper run.
Definitely. I was going to say something, my mind went blank, but shout out to Keys. Sorry. she did really well. I will say, her ring nearly made me blind.
I was literally thinking, I remember you saying, there was something
tennis related. I was actually going to say, oh, actually, this was the tennis related speech. I'm going to say, we need to remember, beginning of the year, it was rocky for her. Mm. She was ill, she was injured.
And again, you said this on the audio.
Part, yeah, so. It wasn't like really, you know, so the fact that she didn't really play, like, last year
she played in the United Cup. And they went unbeaten, the US.
Yeah. But besides that, like, actual, like, single, like, her alone, she was even sharing herself, like, interviews. She's like, you know, especially after the French Open, she was already, like, kind of down. So the fact that she took some, you know, she came and she won it as well. And last year, she played one round at Eastbourne and then she pulled out and then she missed out the rest of the grass tournament. So that was really dope. But yes, her ring did blind. But I feel like she was even hiding it a bit because she was talking like this, like, during the press. She was like, yeah. But when she was going like that, I was like, oh, ciao.
Is it Bjorn van Tangelo?
Yeah, yeah.
Done a good job there.
Yeah, he did. Shout out. That's a good ring.
He's done a good job.
I was gonna say, it's hard buying a ring for a millionaire. She's the high earner, you know.
That's true. That's actually true. No, but he did well. And he did well still. No, he did well.
Point. Next player I want to shout out, obviously now as the champion, Carlos Al... Well, Spanish speaker. How do you say his name in Spanish?
True.
Carlos Alcaraz. That's actually a funny story about that. So like in regards to Spanish. So I tried to speak to him in Spanish in his press conferences. Uh-huh. And because obviously I've spoken in English.
Yeah.
But the first time I did it, like I started asking a question and I was like, I can't remember what I asked, but I started asking in Spanish. Uh-huh. And he just like almost freaked out. He turned to the moderator like, English? And I was like, I'm in Spanish. I'm speaking to you in Spanish, man. And then, you know, he was laughing and everyone was laughing. But
that's so wild.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh,
that is so funny.
I loved, I think it was the final. Obviously, we didn't go to the final press conference, but he had the Spanish journalists at the front.
That was so wholesome. So
I've got here the bucket hat pappy. Yeah, because I mean, he was rocking that bucket hat.
No, he was. Ooh. No, I did tweet it.
You did.
I was like, "Yo, I want the bucket hat." Did you actually get it?
I know. You know.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So basically,
I tweeted it. So initially, it was like a thing, and I was like, the first time I saw it on him, I was like, I want it. And then God. I was like, let me tweet on a Black Screen Global thing. I saw it again. I was like, I'm really feeling this bucket hat.
Bro, how many did you get?
So I'm thinking, like, hang on a minute. So I've got two. I've got one large and one small.
Give me the small one. I've got but small hair.
Because I don't know what size you would be.
But I've got my dreads anyway, so I won't really be.
It looks like they're giving me like...
It looks like four.
They've given me like...
How many did you...
I mean, Tamani, hey, this might be your...
Whoa, I need to check my the receipt. Mm.
You need to check your account.
I bought two, but this is a small. So maybe try this
Let
one.
Let me see. And see. I need to be mindful though, because I don't want to put makeup on it.
I mean, do you want one?
After.
Yeah, Lucy, this is,
let me.
This is for your hard work.
Oh, thank you. It worked because I tweeted. I was like, I tweeted on the Black Swing Global thingy, and I was like, let me, and I literally replied to that same tweet. I was like, I'm purposely tweeting it here so Eugene can get me the hat.
And I saw it, of course I did.
So, he took a screenshot of it. He was like, you're a joker. I was like, please, you better. I don't want to put it fully because I've got makeup.
This is the larger one. I think this one probably be better.
No, because remember, I got my locks, so that's why.
That's what I'm saying. Even when you take your locks out there.
Yeah, that's what, when I take my locks out, it will fit well. Oh, yeah, really? Yeah.
Okay.
That feels good.
So that's the fit.
Well, let me see.
Well, you know what? Now I've got them. Maybe we can do a giveaway. So.
Oh yeah, that's true. Well, bucket hat, mammy. I'm a bucket hat, mammy.
But Carlos Alcaraz.
Oh, thank you, Eugene.
No, no worries, man. No worries.
Oh yes. No me worries. And Alcaraz. But is it Alcaraz?
Alcaraz.
Alcaraz.
Like TH.
Alcaraz.
Kind of.
Carlos Alcaraz.
The last joke thing I'll say before we get into the tennis. Your friend on Twitter, or I say your friend, he follows actually Blackspin. Shouts out, I forgot his name. During the match, he was like, "Oh, who's this? What was the term he used?
Oh, who's this Dominican that's beaten Djokovic?"
Referred to Carlos
Alcaraz. He was like, "Who's this Dominican that's beaten Djokovic?" Because obviously, a lot of people, obviously, you know, people that like to watch the Grand Slam finals,
which I love.
Which, honestly, it was. That's one thing I love because my TL was full of tennis, and everyone was just like, "Yo, who's this guy? Who's this guy?" So my friend was just like, "Yo, who's this Dominican guy beating Djokovic?" I was like, "Yo, he's not Dominican." Shout out to him.
Carlos out, man. Like that guy.
Oh mate.
I think everyone obviously knew about him. World number one, top seed. Mm. But for me, I'm gonna say it, Lucy. I called him to beat Novak.
You did.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. When it went to five, I was like, wow, yeah, it's over. Sorry, Carlos. It's going to be Alcaraz.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Novak. For him to beat Novak Djokovic in five sets, I'm like, yeah, this guy is for real. Like,
I was saying it from the beginning. I was like, man, Djokovic about to whoop this guy's ass. Actually, no, I was saying that this was going to be Djokovic's toughest match, but I did not have him winning it. The one thing I did say,
you had Carlos Alcaraz beating Novak.
No, I had Novak beating, exactly. Winning the whole thing. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like, I knew it was going to be his toughest match, but I didn't think I didn't think Carlos was going to win it. But the one thing I did say was that the number one thing I feel like helped Carlos was that semi-final French Open match. I think because he has so much pressure that time, it's like he was a little bit more relaxed. That pressure wasn't there anymore. And he just came to, I feel like he came with different smoke to this grass tournament. I did not.
But he won Queens.
That's what I'm saying. But even Queens, I was saying like.
I swear you were at one of the earlier matches. Were you at that his first match?
I think so.
When it was really tight.
I feel like
we were watching it together.
Queens.
And he was struggling to move on the
bro,
surface.
Bro!
He said afterwards that it was in his head. Like every time he moved, he was thinking about it. But this guy just learned so quickly.
Yo, it was insane. And that's why when we went to the grass tournament, I was like, man, Carlos would do well. But I felt like he'll be well prepared next year. That was my thing. Yeah. I was like, this year, nah. But it's cool. You know, he's done well so far, blah, blah, blah. And he literally like blew me away because I had very low expectation for Carlos, but only because to me, it's like he needs more time to get used to grass. The fact that he picked that up, won Queens, and then beat someone who's been dominating Wimbledon the last 4 or 5 years. Mad. As in, he's the first winner in so many years. He's the first like...
winner outside the top.
Outside of three, the big four. This is what I'm saying, like... Although I am a certified, you know, Novak,
stop it.
You know, the win is huge. And I'm actually an Alcaraz fan. Like, I've always said it. I've always been a huge fan of his. He's a wonderful player, great vibe. He's got drip, you know, wearing the bucket hat because of him. So honestly, I'm so happy for that. That was a fantastic final as well.
Did you call him to win before?
I mean, I didn't think he was going to win the tournament beforehand. Ahead of the final, I thought it was like 55-45 to Novak. Yeah. I thought it would be five sets. That's what I said, like, it'll be five sets. I don't know who's going to win, but it'll be five.
Okay. I felt the same. That's what I was saying. It was going to be his toughest match.
But during the match, like, yeah, how did you kind of...
That man was down 5-love. How do you go down 5-love to Novak Djokovic in a semi final and come back from that? Wow. How? Yeah. I down a set and then set point in the tiebreak and come back from that.
We were watching Claire V. At that time. And
yeah.
He's like,
Eugene,
he's getting roasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be straight
set. I was like, see, guys, I told you guys, Novak, that's it. Calendar slam is for him. I was out here like, yep. I was like, yo, give this. And the thing is with Novak as well, his matches, you cannot celebrate. Till the match is over.
No. All the time.
Because with Novak, you just never know. Pass the match point. Let him win the match point. Everyone was saying, wait till my... I was like, guys, you guys have not learned your lesson from 2019. Clearly you haven't. It's after the player wins that match point, then you can celebrate. Because it's just insane. But that's why it was a fantastic final. Like, I really enjoyed that match.
It was.
Yeah. How was it for you? Because you were actually... Because I was trying to go, but obviously it was very busy. Awesome. But how was it actually, like, the atmosphere, the match, like, actually being there?
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere was huge. Like, obviously, they're all supporting Carlos, obviously. It was big Carlos support. And it was just... Obviously, felt like this massive occasion and... Yeah, it just delivered because obviously before the finals, the women's tournament, the women had ton of three setters and tough matches and Azarenka, Svitolina, and Swiatek versus Bencic.
There was
and all of Jabeur's
matches. That quarter finals round, the ladies one was really good. That was really good.
And Jabeur like against Rubikina and Sabalenka, but the men's was kind of like. Everything was leading up to that final and it delivered fully.
With
regards to the match point, like Carlos coming out to serve for it, like I'll never forget just like hit the first point he tried to go for a drop shot early in the point and hit the net, and any other player in the world would not go for another drop shot. And this man goes and does a drop shot and lobs Djokovic. And then the next point, he did like a lunging volley winner, like almost at full stretch. And it's just like, it's like...
And you know what's so funny? Yeah. People on Twitter was like, why is he doing that? Like, what the hell? And then he won it. And then he'd be like, what the fuck? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he is just... different. Yeah. Like he's built different.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever seen Djokovic almost just like accept a loss in the moment. Like,
even during the match, he was just like,
yeah,
like he was like, what? He didn't even understand what's going on. He was like, bro, what actually is going on here?
We need to give credit to Novak as well because obviously that's tough. Like for him to lose, like we've already established, 2-time Grand Slam champion already this year, going for the Canada Slam, and 24, like. I think he was really good afterwards in terms of
the words he said.
Okay, like, during...
He always is, to be fair.
This is the thing, man. Yeah. I don't think he gets enough credit for that. I'm sorry. Because we just used to see him winning all the time. Like, but he's very gracious in defeat.
Yeah.
Like, all the time I've seen...
That's true. Especially that he was actually talking his shit.
This before that. Like, exactly.
Oh, no, he was like, no one was being in that centre court. Happening. Well, it happened. But you're right. That's actually true. That's a good point.
So I think... In terms of for the advert for the sport, like, man, what a match. Because that's showing you literally Novak is one of the greatest of all time.
There's no doubt
about that. But now, Carlos Alcaraz now, he's that kind of next one in line. And like, all the headline writers are saying, he's literally, you know, on his own. Like, because there's no one else with him in terms of like, the next generation. So I think it's a bit too early to say that for now.
Mm.
But right now, Carlos is that guy.
So, 100%. Listen, he won that US Open last year, and since then he's been like doing his thing. Like, even this season, clay season, he won so many titles. And the ones he didn't win, he was like semi-finals. Made it all the way to semi-finals at Roland Garros. And I think that's why I feel like people like are forgetting the way that went. He literally had cramps because he was that nervous. Yeah.
He's learned his
and
lesson.
then in just like a couple weeks, in a whole different surface, He actually beat that same player who's been dominating. Like, when you actually sit down and think about it, it's insane. Yeah, it's actually crazy what he did. So, shout out to Carlos.
Second or third Wimbledon? Probably second.
Third. But like, his fourth tournament overall.
That's just insane. Like,
this is what I'm saying. And that is why I was like, Carlos won't. He'll be all right. He'll do it next year. Maybe not this year.
And that's what you think. Like when something like that happens, it'll take a while to, learn from it.
Especially grass.
Yeah. But he just learned so quickly. It's crazy, man. It's so crazy.
Shout out to Carlos, because this is really making the sport even like. Because when I was reading people's tweet, I don't follow tennis. They're like, damn, this guy is so
look
good.
Look at Queen, the comment you love to mention, the boys saying, oh yeah, basically this guy is the...
Yo, you boys probably were right. Even though you are probably. Do you know what? Timani actually didn't make a tweet. He was like, I kind of even miss the Federer and Big Three comparison over the football comparison when it comes to Carlos. Because it was a picture of, who was it? Mbappe and who? And Messi or Ronaldo.
Yes.
And like, they were like, oh yeah, passing the torch. And they were like comparing to Djokovic and Alcaraz. But like, at Queens, I was walking past some of the staff, like some young boys, and they were getting so gassed with seeing Alcaraz. And they were like, yeah, he's the Messi of tennis. I was like,
And lastly, before you wrap up, the women. So shouts out to the unseeded, Keta Von Drusova. First unseeded player to win Wimbledon.
Ever, woman.
That's wild.
It's crazy.
And she's 24?
She's quite young.
But she's had history, or she has history in terms of going deep at events. Obviously, went French Open.
2019 finals.
And silver medalist at the Olympics. So, like, she's been about.
Yeah.
But, man, so tough for the ball. Like, and I've said here, she needs to get credit for making back-to-back finals.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
But, yeah, gutting defeat. And obviously, we spoke about it.
On
our daily pods. But
What's your take on the women's draw overall?
I mean, I think Jabeur played like the tournament of her life. Like, like last year, she had a good draw and she took advantage of it. Still didn't really play her best tennis. And I thought that kind of like bit her in the final when she played against Rybakina. This year, she had the toughest draw like possible. Played Andreescu in the third round. Came back from a set to win it, and Andreescu was playing well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then played Kvitova, who just won Berlin and was, back in the top 10.
Shout out to Paolini as well for taking Kvitova to three sets in
the round. On centre court.
Just to get that in there.
shout out to Paolini. That was the day we ate. That's the one time.
Oh, the past.
Oh, yes.
And we're just watching Jabeur just destroy.
Yeah.
And then after that, back to back against Rybakina and Sabalenka, basically for me the top two, favorites of the tournament, and beat that. That Rybakina match was best tennis she's ever played in her life.
I saw you said that. Yeah.
And again, but Sabalenka match as well, like played unbelievable.
Oh yeah, Sabalenka's a tough player. The women was my first time seeing her, and she's very, very tough.
Yeah, she can hit.
Yeah. And so she come into a final playing unbelievable tennis, and I think it was a mixture she couldn't handle the moment, like it just got to her, like you could just see like she couldn't deal with it, and also Von Drusova, who's a completely different player to Sabalenka and Rybakina and Kvitova.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, she's defensive. And like the thing I like about Vondrousova is that like when she gets the ball back, she always puts it so low. And on grass, like, you know, it's so hard.
Yeah, I kept on, because I saw a bit of like their final. I went to court and I kept on seeing that every time. And every time I was like this,
yeah.
I was like, ooh. every single time. So that's actually a good point. Because
like, if you saw like almost all, like Dribble has so many errors, but they're almost all in the net because the ball was so low and
so
she just
low.
Wouldn't.
Yeah.
And she couldn't like just, like she wasn't.
And sometimes it was right on the line or like right. Yeah. I think sometimes as well she was hitting thinking, wait, is it out? And then she would just be like, do you get what I mean? Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, that's one of the most brutal like slam losses I've seen in a long time. Probably the last one was like Halep when she lost to Wozniacki in her third slam final in a row. Was just brutal. But obviously she was like in the afterwards she was great in the you know the interview after, like she was just herself, like she was gutted and she showed how gutted she was. But I've always liked Vondrousova and always like been like the talent. I was this year I was convinced she was going to do something at Roland Garros because obviously clay's her surface and she's coming back from injury and she looked good, but then she didn't. Like I remember like she played Rybakina in Rome and I was like convinced she was going to beat Rybakina and then she lost in straight set. But here she comes Wimbledon, she was her record before this year, like coming into the grass season, was 2-10. That woman had won 2 matches on grass in her life. 2 matches. I cannot believe it.
That is crazy.
Like, she'd come every year and just got her destroyed. The last person she lost to was at Wimbledon, was Raducanu.
Oh, yeah, that's
when,
true,
when Raducanu
yeah.
was just started coming back from
so crazy.
Fresh off her A-levels. And but it was funny because like someone mentioned that in the press to Vondrousova after, and she was like, well, that was my best ever Wimbledon result, second round. But she's I like her a lot because she's very crafty, and I also think like she's like both her and Jabeur are crafty and like play drop shots, but she's like kind of, she's really smart, like she knows what she's doing on the court, whereas Jabeur like. Sometimes
it's more of a feeling.
Yeah. So like I think she just sometimes just outsmarts Jabeur because that's the third time she's beaten her this year. So she just knows how to like, you know, get in her head. And
do you think Jabeur is going to win a Grand Slam? Because I do personally.
I mean it bodes well for her that she's reached three finals exactly. And that she's playing like even better. Like it seems like she improves every year. Like so I definitely think like this Wimbledon, like in my mind, she's, you know. She clearly has,
yeah.
Like I think she played better than I've ever seen her play, and so like my obviously I had a massive high opinion of her before, but that's in terms of her game, it's even higher now. But I'm curious to see. So yeah, I think chances are and especially on grass or maybe I guess if maybe on clay as well, if Świątek, you know, let's these girls have anything on clay, but. But yeah, but impressed with Vondrousova as well. Like, it's gonna just interesting to see how she follows it up because she was a junior number one before. Like, as you said, like she had a. It's not. Some people think it just came out of nowhere, but like we've kind of been waiting for her to do something.
I didn't know she was junior number one.
Yeah. Okay. So like, and it's funny. Like she's the same age as Rybakina. There's like 11 days between them or something.
Oh, wow.
And while she was in the Roland Garros final back then, Rybakina was coming from qualifying.
Wow.
So like she was way ahead kind of just stagnated because of injuries and stuff. Mm. But yeah, we'll see like what she does with this now.
Oh, that's exciting, man.
Shout out to her. Shout out to Ons.
I've said she was like the most low-key winner. Would you say she's more low-key than Rybakina?
At the moment, yeah. But I feel like Rybakina, even though she's more quiet and like barely reacted, like a year later she's done so much that like it feels like she has a presence, even though we'll see.
And obviously when she's fast the tats as well, like, she's got personality.
Shouts
out to her, man.
Shout out to them.
Wimbledon champ. But yeah guys, that is literally it. So that's our Wimbledon Wimbledon review pod wrapped up.
Grass season over, it's time for the best slam.
Walk, stand up. But yeah guys, man, thank you so much for like kind of connecting with us like this past fortnight. It's been very special.
Yes.
And like, I hope you've enjoyed all the content because it's been like I said, Lucy's worked so hard like putting everything together and like editing the pods, and it's been a lot, but it's been enjoyable.
I deserve the bucket hat.
She does deserve the bucket hat.
And shout out to my mentor.
It looks good on you. And of course, shout out.
Which mentor?
Shout out to my mentor.
Shout out to our guy,
you saw that tweet that was shouting him out about his articles.
Facts, exactly.
Yeah, and I caught you and I said, my mentor! I know him.
The GOAT. But yeah, guys, thank you for tuning in. And until next time, all the best.